head down there.
Sure. Again, that's that changed perception about the spiral jetty, and that's really fascinating to me. That now it's more of a destination site. It's more of destination art. That change from thinking it's in the middle of nowhere. This has been written a lot about spiral jetty. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's hard to get to. It takes days. Your car can break down. You will see almost sort of lunar, you know, the spaceships and all of this, when in fact there's a certain mythology that goes along with that. There can be that feeling, but more and more, as more people are out there, there are more signs, because the reality is people are driving on a graded road through private property. And so I had written recently a book chapter on the stewardship of the spiral jetty and land use around it, because there is that mythology and maybe romanticism. This is going to be this, nobody's ever done this trip, and I'm doing this trip and it's the first time, and look at this landscape. And then it's disconcerting when they see a sign saying, if you stop on this road, you can't step on my property right next to this road.
Right, private property on both sides of the road.
Property. And it's owned, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints owns that property of Roselle Hill. It's part of their tax package. There are all of these different entities who own all of this different land around Spiral Jetty, which is sitting on 10 acres of leased land through the Department of Natural Resources, owned by DL Art Foundation, an entity in New York. So it's fascinating to me thinking about.
Could you talk a little bit about that, the DL Art Foundation and that relationship, and how how do they hold that lease?
Sure. Nancy Holt, of course, the widow of Robert Smithson, when he died, all of his, through their marriage, everything of his was hers. And when he obtained the lease in 1970 for the spiral jetty, it was through the state.
Right.
Now we know it as the Department of Natural Resources, and then it was called something very slightly different. So he obtained the lease for the 10 acres for a 10-year period. And from 1970, and what he wanted to do was he wanted that lease in perpetuity, and went back and he worked with Mark Tuttle, who was the main contact at the time, and they determined that they weren't going to do that. Nobody who obtained leases could get that them in perpetuity. Then in 1980 they would revisit it again and see what they were going to do about the lease. Well, he dies in 73. Everything reverts to Nancy Holt. And then in 1980, they say, okay, now it's time to determine what we're going to do, and you've got the lease for 20 years. What she determines through that time period then, the spiral jetty is hers, is that she and after Smithson dies, they set up the estate of Robert Smithson. And it is through a lineage of people working in galleries wherein it ends. The estate is at the John Weber Gallery in New York, and then Elise Goldberg, who's been administrating it. It is now the James Cohan Gallery, C-O-H-A-N, Gallery in New York, and Elise Goldberg is still administering the estate of Robert Smithson. So in 99, Nancy Holt, who owns Spiral Jetty, and the estate of Robert Smithson gift the Spiral Jetty to DL Art Foundation. They do that, so that means the lease then is rewritten, and that reverts to Dia. Dia has had an interest in art of that time period, an interest in land art, an interest nationally of all of this. This has been part of their mission. So, of course, Dia, that's the right nonprofit art organization for it then to be administered through. And so recently, Dia then has been partnering with Utah Museum of Fine Arts and the Great Salt Lake Institute at Westminster College to do more local representation. As far as stewardship and awareness of Spiral Jetty. I started working with Dia very casually, not in a publicly recognized fashion, but more right. on the side, I was the local person than who was working with Dia, keeping them, because I go out to Spiral Jetty all the time. So keeping them informed. They then, as Spiral Jetty was visible, started sending different people to me to take them out there for trips. Mm-hmm. And so I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of very interesting people to take them so that they have the experience at Spiral Jetty. And I've always maintained that it was sort of a private situation. Some of these folks, it's their private time, their private interests, that they want to do this. So I've never been the person to say, well, I took this gallery owner or this museum director or this rock star out to Spiral Jetty, but I did get to do all of those things. And that was actually really a lot of fun because I could always maintain them. And the first trip was actually really intimidating to me. Mm-hmm. I had not had that experience of meeting people in the art world on that level. And so to be the person who's going to say, okay, let's turn left here, let's go there. But I really warmed up to the idea that I had an expertise in being able to talk about this artwork. And I learned enough then by, I think 2003 was my first trip that I did. And I've maintained, I've been doing those trips ever since for Dia mm-hmm. and for James Cohan Gallery, through Cluey, and then on my own. So the you had mentioned meeting out there Pioneer Day.
Right.
I was with four people from New York who came to me through James Cohan Gallery. 2 days before Pioneer Day, we spent the day at Sun Tunnels. The day before Pioneer Day, we spent the day at Spiral Jetty.
All right.
And so through these different connections, I have another life wherein I get to meet really fun, interesting people who come and be a very off-the-record ambassador
right.
for Spiral Jetty and Great Salt Lake.